Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River, New York and New Jersey Public Radio. And on Friday, the FDA issued a warning letter to 23andMe, a company that provides genetic testing kits to home users. The FDA has expressed its concerns about five genetic testing companies in all over concerns not only about their validity, but also the drastic decisions that people may make after they receive their results. And although some of these companies have been around for a while, the FDA has insisted that some of them, including 23andMe, are not ready to be marketed to the public. Alice Park is a staff writer at Time Magazine who covers health and medicine. Alice, welcome back to WNYC.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And so, Alice, we know that the FDA made headlines back in 2010 when it issued warnings to five home genetic testing companies, including 23andMe, Navigenics, and Decode Genetics. What were the FDA's concerns then, and why did they issue another letter last week?
Well, the concerns are the same. I spoke to a spokesperson for the agency yesterday, and there isn't anything new. The issue today or yesterday, and the reason why the letters were issued, was because they've been having an ongoing conversation with these companies and asking the companies to provide some more supportive data to really, you know, justify how these tests are being used and how confident they are about the results, and in particular about how to translate the results into the clinic. You know, as you mentioned, decisions that people might make about their health, what drugs to take, what treatments they might, you know, be looking at. And they had continually asked the company for this information, and I was told by the spokesperson at the FDA that the companies had not provided it, and therefore the letter yesterday was sent out to basically let them know that, you know, if they have 15 days to provide this information, and in the meantime they cannot market and continue selling these services.
So 23andMe, which is probably the most well-known of these services, has been selling for a while. People have gone and taken these genetic tests from them and from other companies out of curiosity and also out of concern to know the actual genetic risks that they have of particular diseases. It's also been used for genealogy. Henry Louis Gates was here the other day talking about how he partners with them on some of the genealogical research that he's become so famous for. And now they're actually saying in Washington that they may not sell 23andMe profiles to individuals anymore?
Well,
at the moment?
Right. And I think we also want to make clear, and the FDA wants to make clear, that it's how the information is used. So their concern is really for people who are getting tested and perhaps getting a result that says, for example, they include the well-known breast cancer genes BRCA1 and 2, for which Angelina Jolie made brought to the attention recently. And this is a very well-known gene that has a very well-known association to a risk of an aggressive form of breast cancer. And what the FDA is concerned about is mixing tests like that, where there is very good solid evidence and where patients should, if they do get a positive result back, take some action, talk to their doctor, and figure out what they need to do. Those types of information are mixed with information about 50 other, you know, small changes in the DNA that are associated with breast cancer, but where it's not quite clear yet exactly how much they contribute to the disease. So the balance in trying to figure out and interpret the information is what the FDA is concerned about, and that's why they're asking for some more information, some data to also help consumers who get this information to figure that out. I don't think they have an issue with the genealogy type of thing. So if you're using the information primarily for, some of the experts in the field actually call it recreational genomics, you know, where it's interesting to you, you're curious about your family history, you're curious about your genetic lineage, I don't think the FDA has an issue with that. They're primarily concerned about the health and safety of consumers and how they're using this information when they're making health decisions.
But if you can't buy it, you can't use it for anything.
There are they're not shutting down the entire service. So in the letter that they sent to 23andMe and to the other companies, they specified certain things that they were particularly concerned about. For example, the gene that is connected to people's sensitivity to a blood thinning agent called warfarin, as well as their response to certain types of drugs. So, if you are asking for genealogy related information, I believe that you can still get that.
Listeners, any questions for Alice Park, health and medicine reporter for Time Magazine, as we talk about these new questions about genetic testing? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. And it looks like the phrasing of 23andMe's ads and claims seem especially important in the context of this story. Why is that?
Because under a legislation that the FDA was afforded some power and authority to oversee devices, and according to that legislation, the way that 23andMe is marketing this product as something that can affect people's health, it qualifies as a medical device, and as such, the FDA is saying that it needs approval, and the agency does need to see some data supporting the evidence on which the company is basing the way that it, first of all, determines the information, the genetic information, what types of technology they're using, as well as how they're presenting it to consumers. In the way that the consumers are then going to use it to make decisions about their health, and the way that it's being advertised. If you go to their website, it does say, that it helps you to make decisions, learn more about your health.
Even though
it certainly does imply that they can make decisions about it based on the information.
Right. So that's a fine line, because 23andMe has argued in the past, I think, that a genetic test is not the same as a diagnosis. And so if they tell people that, and recommend that they go see their doctors to get, the real meaning of any information that they get in a genetic test. But the advertising is indicating that it can give you information about their health, then the FDA is concerned that people could wind up confused by that. Is that it?
That's right. And that's the issue here, is that the FDA is just concerned that people are going to see that and not understand the distinction and really interpret this information, not as information, but as a diagnosis.
All right. Let's take some calls that are coming in. Stephanie in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. I'd like to know whether or not I want my genetic testing done. I sent it in 3 weeks ago. Will I still get the results, or will this stop it?
Alice, do you know?
That's a good question. I don't know. The company did not respond to a request to answer my questions about things like that and about what happens to consumers. I know that the company also has an ongoing service where once you have gotten your testing done, they will continue to keep in touch with you and get back in touch as new studies come out and new information comes out about particular mutations you might have or results that you might have had. So I can't answer for the company. I don't know what their plans are regarding that.
23andMe did issue this statement, according to NPR, quote, "We have received the warning letter from the Food and Drug Administration. We recognize that we have not met the FDA's expectations regarding timeline and communication regarding our submission. Our relationship with the FDA is extremely important to us, and we are committed to fully engaging with them to address their concerns." So that's a general statement of taking it seriously. It certainly doesn't answer Stephanie's question about whether she'll get her results back. But is there a sense of how long this suspension of some of their activities may be in effect for, and how quickly the FDA could lift it, and what would give them reason to lift it?
Well, they have 15 days, and the FDA noted that they are still very willing to talk to the company and work with the company to address the agency's questions. But here's the thing, you know, in talking to a lot of medical genetic experts, the information that the FDA is asking for, it simply just may not be available yet. This is such a new field, and interpreting the human genome is something that we're, you know, even the experts are trying to still figure out. We know that genetics is not a simple, you know, one mutation equals one disease for 100% certainty. And that's the issue here, is really understanding what mutations mean, how many changes or differences in the genome contribute to a particular condition, understanding why people with the same mutations might still not get sort of the same severity of a disease like cancer. Those questions are still quite open ones, and ones that scientists are still exploring, you know, in great depth and ongoing. So some of those questions that the FDA is asking may not have answers yet. And so it's hard to tell whether the company, 23andMe, and the other companies that were sent these letters will be able to produce the data to the satisfaction of the FDA at this point. And that won't be the fault of the company. It'll just be a reflection of, you know, of where the science is today.
Jennifer in South Orange, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
You know, I'm just calling because I'm sort of, I've long been a bit annoyed at the FDA's, seems over-regulation of certain drugs and possibly devices and maybe under-regulation of others. For example, you can buy extra Tylenol over the counter, and yet there have been, I believe, cases of children who, you know, parents don't realize you can't prescribe it or you can't give a child extra-strength Tylenol without risking liver toxicity. Meanwhile, you know, the FDA is attempting to regulate dissemination of information that I purchase or that I would like to purchase from 23andMe, and I'm not sure that I need that protection. I think it's a bit of overreach. I certainly, you know, agree that, these companies need to specify that what they're providing is not to take the place of a doctor's counsel or diagnosis, but I don't like it that the government gets that closely involved in the information I can get hold of.
Jennifer, thank you. And I'm not familiar with the research on extra-strength Tylenol, so folks take that as one caller's representing something that she heard. Maybe that's known and I just missed it, but, you know, I just don't want to leave people with the impression from one thing that one person said that that maybe that should be a regulated medication. But she makes a very interesting point, Alice, about this whole realm, which is the government regulating information that somebody can voluntarily buy about themselves. And while truth in packaging is an important notion, is it a new kind of step for the FDA to be regulating information in this way, as opposed to a substance like a drug?
Well, I think that's what the sort of brave new world of genetics brings to us. You know, it is information that it provides us, but the agency, I don't think, is trying to limit the information. They're trying to ensure the quality of that information, because that information is critical to people making decisions about their health. And that is something that falls within the purview, you know, of the FDA, just like a drug would that we would take. You know, we don't allow drug companies to provide substances without any oversight, you know, without any kind of investigation of what types of side effects might be, they might incur, and in which people they might work best and in which people they might not work so well. Obviously, nothing is 100%. We can certainly point to examples where this regulation, you know, has fallen a little short with certain drugs, but it's a system that, you know, has a mission of essentially protecting the patient. So, yes, while it is information, and it is a very interesting point about people's access to information, genomic information, I think it's also worth looking at how that information is presented and how that information is gleaned. This is based on, you know, people sending in a sample of spit and the company then sort of putting it into a black box and coming up with this genetic analysis. And what I think experts in the field and what the FDA is trying to get at is how is that done and can we ensure that that is being done in a responsible and standardized way, that these results are reliable and that people can reasonably act on them without putting themselves at increased harm.
James in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, James.
How are you doing? Yes, I have a question. As she just said, that this is the FDNA's attempt to try to protect patients, but it also seems like they're trying to protect drug companies, specifically in relation to the fact that there's negative information that could come out saying that a person might actually have a predisposition to having negative effects from a specific type of drug. Now, is this being done specifically for the patients, or is this being done to protect drug companies? Please, explain.
James has the same suspicious mind that I do. I think, Alice, because of my eyebrows also went up, and I was going to come back to it, when you said earlier that one of the reasons that they ordered this suspension in some of the genetic testing was because of information that people were getting about their response to the – what drug did you say it was? Warfarin?
Yes, yes. That's what I remember her saying, yes.
Which, Alice, which is what again and who makes it?
It's a blood-thinning drug, and it can be used in the treatment of – my understanding is in the treatment of people who are at risk of stroke. But the dosage of it is very – is a very delicate thing. So too much of it can thin the blood too much and put you at risk of a hemorrhagic stroke, hemorrhaging.
And some some people are more susceptible genetically one way or another to these overdoses or underdoses.
Exactly. Some people have a genetic predisposition that makes them more sensitive or less sensitive.
So James's question is there any financial relationship between the genetic testing company and the maker of the drug that they would want to slow down dissemination of information about those risks?
Well, I can't speak to whether 23andMe has any relationship with the maker of warfarin, but this is a well-known issue in the medical field that doctors have been asking for. So there have been studies even in some people saying that people should be tested for this before doctors prescribe this medication, and this is a way to improve the medical care. And to my understanding, not a reason to sort of put more money in the pocket of the drug maker. Because this is, in fact, I would argue that it might, in some cases, they would say that people shouldn't be put on the drug. So I don't think this is a situation where this is something that would promote a drug per se.
One more call. Jamie in Wilmington, North Carolina. Hi, Jamie. Thanks for listening.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on. Oh, my gosh. I lived in New York for 33 years and was never called in. I think my complaint still is about
You're picking up that accent, by the way. I don't know if you're from here originally, but you sound like you're from North Carolina.
Yes, originally, but I did do my 33 years in New York, and I was saying that I wanted the freedom to have information about my genome, whatever that might be. It makes me think of pregnancy testing, and I don't know if pregnancy tests have to be approved by the FDA, but no one is in charge of what a person does after they take that test, except the person who takes it.
So you don't want the FDA mucking around in this so much?
I do not.
Do you want them at least to regulate the kind of information that goes out about what it is so that there aren't misleading claims that this is somehow a diagnosis, for example?
Right. I want to make clear that this is not, the FDA does also regulate the pregnancy test because it is a device. This is not an attempt to say that you cannot have this information. The issue is that they have asked the company about a certain way to provide the information and the quality of how they provide that information, and the company has failed to do that. So they're not saying that they will never allow genetic information or people to learn about their genetic destiny.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to ensure that it's done in a way that's responsible and that protects the safety of patients. So this is not, I want to make clear that this is not an attempt by the FDA to say no genetic testing ever, we're not behind it, we're not going to approve any tests. This is simply their attempt to say we need to do this better and perhaps we're not quite ready for prime time with these tests that still leave a lot, you know, to be interpreted. And they're, you know, the experts even aren't really sure of what to make of a lot of the genetic information that's being generated by these tests and these sequences. We can do all kinds of analyses on our genomes. The question is, what does it mean?
What does it mean in the brave new world of genetic testing, the FDA making sure that we get that we get accurate information about what it does or doesn't mean or might not mean? And Alice Park, health and medicine correspondent for Time Magazine, reporting on the latest. Thank you so much, Alice.
Thank you.